Hey everyone, welcome to our next edition of Taking Stock. I am super excited to welcome Megan O'Toole and Chitakshi Shekhar to the conversation. I work really closely with Megan and Chitakshi, and we're going to talk about a topic that we're all really excited about, and that's the broad topic of professional development. More specifically, as you'll see, we get into why professional development is so critical in today's market. Why it is absolutely an imperative for organizations to be investing in their employees and to do so in a sustainable way, in an agile way that ensures the right level of engagement and growth with their employees. So fun discussion, great perspective from all, and appreciate y'all listening, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Hey, Megan. Hey, Chitakshi. Welcome to Taking Stock. So great to catch up with you both, and appreciate you finally joining me for a discussion. And it's a topic that all three of us, I know, are really, really passionate about. Kind of broadly, we're going to talk about the topic of professional development, which, you know, can mean so many different things, right? It could mean, what are you doing as an employee to invest in yourself and to develop yourself, coupled with what are you doing to develop others? Curious to hear your all's opinion on this, but certainly from what I've seen, if you think about how companies need to compete, you think about the great resignation, you think about a lot of attrition, a lot of turnover within organizations, the ability to be able to develop others, I believe, is a great tool and means to be able to recruit talent. But I also think it's a great tool to be able to retain talent. So talk a little bit, maybe Chitakshi, we'll start with you, kind of your perspective. I know you've had training and change management roles in your time at Clarkston. So you've certainly been close to this, and also a lot of what you do internally within Clarkston. Your thoughts on professional development more broadly, some of what you're seeing and why you believe, if you believe, that development of employees is such a strategic imperative for companies.
Yeah, happy to share. So I think the biggest thing that we have all seen, especially with this great resignation, is that folks want to be seen, they want to be heard, and they want to be invested in. So when folks come to different organizations, they're trying to not only understand, like, how can they grow in themselves, but how can they make an impact? And when you start thinking about professional development, one thing that I've seen that's imperative is having that access to mentors, having that access to leadership. What kind of professional development programs are you offering to your employees to consistently push them to be the best versions of themselves on a day-to-day basis? But then it also comes with, once those folks start feeling comfortable with, these are the certain skill sets that I've acquired thus far, I feel confident enough to kind of carry that baton forward. And so professional development, I think, begins with everybody's individual career journey as a mentee, and then they continue to develop in themselves, but then also carrying that forward towards other people. And how are you consistently sharing that knowledge, that skill set across the organization, so you have that visibility, so people are seen, so people are heard in the different skill sets that they're trying to grow and continuously develop in?
Yeah, and I know one of the things that you and Megan have been involved in is helping recruit new talent within Clarkston. And in doing so, you've spoken with a lot of, you know, younger folks who are just entering the workforce. Megan, any thoughts? I'm assuming that some of what Chitakshi is referencing is only exacerbated within kind of that younger demographic. Would you agree?
Yes, Steve, I completely agree. I think one thing that we see a really strong desire in this younger generation as we're doing recruiting from college is that they want to be able to learn, they want to continue to grow. And so what Chitakshi's talking about being invested in and feeling like this is a career over a job and that you're on this journey is something that's really important. I think on top of that, the idea that of people is when they start to feel stagnant. And so I think where we get hit hardest with attrition is not the 3 to 4 mark in the career, even I would say the 2 to 4 year mark in a career, when you feel like you've hit your peak. And so what we need to be focusing on is making sure that people aren't starting to get stagnant and that there's always something for them to chase and continue to build towards.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling that out, Megan. I could not agree more. We've done a lot of research and shows, yeah, that kind of 3-year window is when employees start to feel stagnant in their careers and they're looking for new opportunities. And I think smart organizations embrace that and they try to create a platform for people to learn and grow. So what does that look like though, Megan? And how as an organization do you create a model where you're providing opportunities for people to learn, for people to grow, to have some agility in their careers? What does that look like in your opinion?
I think Shetakshi's point about mentorship is really important here. So her and I are both at a point in our careers where we're making the shift and having this evolution from being a mentee to starting to be more of a mentor. And so for me, younger in my career, it was really important to be able to chase out internal development opportunities. And I think it's really important for companies to have that outlet where you're younger, you can get paired up with someone that has more experience, you can learn from them. You have to be able to continue to grow internally based off of your interest. And then once you've developed an interest and really started to become an expert there, turning that around and doing knowledge transfer outwards within your firm to make sure that everyone can be growing from the growth that you're having.
Yeah, and I've always felt, and Shetakshi, curious your thoughts on this, I've always felt when you think about the mentor-mentee model, you know, too often we think about them as being mutually exclusive. I've reached this point in my career where I'm no longer a mentee. Now I'm a mentor and everything is about pushing my knowledge down. Right. But that's not necessarily the case, right? I think in a perfect model, you are kind of straddling both. I firmly believe that the best way to learn is to teach. So curious your thoughts around kind of how do you kind of straddle the line between being a mentor and a mentee? In your experience?
Yeah, I think one thing that I consistently remind myself is that there's always something new to learn. So whether it's an industry expertise, whether it's a soft skill like presentation skills or communication, there's always something that we can strive towards to make that a stronger skill for ourselves. And so when I'm thinking about when I started off, for example, in trade promotion management, there was a lot that I didn't know about the industry, about what best practices, where the industry is trending. Now with some experience under my belt, I feel confident in certain of those certain high level foundational things that I can pass on to my mentees. So that's where I had originated as a mentee. I was leaning on some of my mentors to instill that knowledge in me and kind of teach me to push the limits and understand how we can be evolving in the future. And I've kind of transitioned that over those foundational skill sets into my mentees. But now there's things as a trade person myself as well, what are the nuances in the industry? Now that I feel comfortable with the foundational things, well, what are the things that I'm missing now that I have that belt of knowledge to support? How can I understand what nuances exist? What are some edge cases that we need to be considering at client site? So these are kind of things that you can always be building on top of your foundational skill set. And so the way to balance it, and I joke about this a lot, but for example, if you're working towards something new, you should be building your replacement in a way, right? So if you are trying to establish yourself as the project manager for a project and you are currently a functional lead, then who is going to be that next functional lead that you can fully trust and instill with those skill sets? So it's consistently playing that balancing game is you feel comfortable with level one of knowledge and you're pushing yourself to level two. And it's kind of lifting as you climb where who else can I bring with me along the way?
Yeah. So I want to thank you, Shetakshi, for that. And let me transition a bit. So many of our clients are working through complex system implementations, right? And it could be across a multitude of different functional areas or processes that they're trying to improve. However, and Megan, I know this is something I'm going to kind of go to you on this one because it's something you and I have talked a lot about. But if you think about training, right, as a means of development, organizations historically think of training as a very point in time exercise, right? We are going to train end users in how to use the system, and we're going to expect that they're going to go through whatever training curriculum. We're maybe going to give them some materials to be able to access subsequently. But by and large, that training exercise is a singular point in time exercise. What are your thoughts in terms of what companies need to do to ensure that that investment doesn't end, that we are continuing to invest in our employees to ensure that they're getting the most out of a system?
I think the first step is a mindset shift from seeing training, as you're saying, as a point in time, as the end of a system implementation. Now we're going to learn how to use this system and we're done. Shifting from that viewpoint to seeing training as continuous improvement, as what Shitakshi's talking about being lifelong learners and how there's always a way that we can learn and grow. And then once you've adopted that mindset, determining how you're going to focus your future learning and growth. So of course we need the foundational point in time training. When we've got the new system, we need to understand new concepts and really gain some skills around core system functionality. But then after that point, what we would really recommend is having a cross-functional alignment and coming together as a company to determine where we want to be in the future. You can't know where you are and where you want to be, or you can't know where you want to be until you know where you are. And we want to ensure that we're intentionally growing in a way that leads us to our desired future state. So while on one hand, we're reinforcing the key foundational concepts and we're doing follow-up training and onboarding new users and doing knowledge sharing, we want to also be steering ourselves to seeing how we can grow. And so what we would typically do with trade implementations is that beyond just learning the system, we have different soft skills that we want to level up. So financial acumen, how can we have better visibility and transparency and know more about our metrics and dive into the customer P&Ls and checkbook management and really start upskilling people as they're learning this new system. Another good soft skill that you want to be working on once you feel like you've mastered the skill, we then would switch and focus on sales enablement. So you've got all this new data, all these new analytics, and yes, you've started to master that and you're starting to feel like an expert of your business. How can you then turn around and take that outwardly and start building more of a general manager mindset and change how you're going to contact your customers and the way that you plan with them?
Yeah, and I think you shared, so thanks, Megan. I think you shared some great examples, specifically as it relates to sales and marketing and trade promotion management. I would say that that type of mindset shift is applicable, again, across any services or processes or functions that organizations are trying to improve upon. And I like the way you framed that out. And I like the idea that, you know, you need to continue to invest. You don't necessarily know where, because you don't necessarily know how your business is going to evolve or how your needs are going to evolve or are going to evolve. Shitakshi, I wanted to get your thoughts around kind of an agile learning mindset, right? And if you are an organization and you are looking at, like, how do I want to invest? Where do I want to invest? Who do I want to invest in? What skills do I want to invest in? How do you kind of build out that map and that strategy, knowing that we're in such a dynamic time, right? Knowing where we want to invest and who we want to invest in is going to be very fickle, to say the least, right? So how do you build out a plan that ensures that there's some structure in terms of where we're investing, but also has that, you know, right level of agility to meet kind of changing needs of the market?
Yeah, I think one thing that organizations need to be reminded of is some of your biggest assets are your people. And so just imagine if you have a group of people, a group of leaders, they've been exposed to X number of things, X number of trends, X number of experiences. But as you're onboarding new individuals, you're bringing in new experiences to the table. You're bringing in new mindsets to the table. How often are you frequently tapping into your community as an organization to see what they're seeing from a trending standpoint? So I think it's important to establish a structure. Who are the core five people that are going to be kind of monitoring the industry, monitoring where your organization is sitting and understanding where the overall corporate strategy is, but how frequently are you tapping in through to the different communities at your department? So like, are you talking to finance? Are you talking to sales? Are you talking to supply chain? What is the trends that those different individuals are seeing? And it should be a non-siloed conversation. I think some of the biggest pain points we see when we're talking about agile learning is that folks think of it in silos by department, where there should be this concept of cohesiveness. You should understand what's going on in your neighbor's world so that you can be optimizing your different processes and skill sets to know where to invest. So I think trying to understand, like, who are going to be the core leaders of this initiative, but then also tuning in interviewing folks that are hands down on the ground, kind of observing all these things happening live action and filtering that back into this concept of ever changing is then you'll understand, well, I think we need to make investments in X, Y, and Z initiatives to make sure that supply chain, sales, and finance is growing at the same time. So those are some things that organizations should be doing to consistently be looping in experiences that everyone else is having.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. Thinking about cross-functional kind of training and learning is critical. Often, you know, folks get very, very deep in their functional area and or their area of expertise. The ability to be able to branch out and the ability to understand those cross-functional dependencies, right? There's perpetual learning, right? That's never going to go away. And certainly where companies, you know, should be investing. Maggie, any other thoughts from you in terms of kind of how companies should be kind of thinking about an agile learning mindset and where to invest, not just in what they're investing in, but also how to invest? Any other thoughts you would add to that?
I think that I want to just kind of harken back to something Chitakshi said earlier about that continuous growth mindset, and that really, because part of being cross-functional and part of this idea that there's always something to learn, not just focusing on an implementation, not just focusing on soft skills, but really this 360 degree mindset where once you've mastered one item, A, how can we disseminate this information out to the organization? How can we ensure that other people are growing? And it's not just that a couple of people have benefited from this, but B, now that we've learned this, what are the new avenues that we've unlocked that we can start to chase? And that's where the agile approach is really great, because you can constantly be reevaluating where you want to go and kind of continue to shape your future as you're growing.
Yeah, and I think that the best organizations will be ones that are assimilating new talent into the organization and have an openness and a willingness. That mindset and willingness to learn isn't just from people who are coming into an organization and those that you traditionally want to develop, but also those who have been there for 20, 25 years, right? The ability to learn from others and incorporate those outside perspectives, but also incorporate new ways of working, new mindsets that could allow you to be more effective, right? And I see that especially if you think about, you know, like analytics is a great example, an area where folks who have been working in industry for years upon years don't necessarily have that analytical mindset. Now that we've armed them with analytical tools, are we investing in them to ensure that they have the capabilities to make the most sense, you know, of those tools? I want to thank you both for the conversation very much. I know we danced around a bunch of different topics, but I think this is critically important. And as we think about the workforce, what they're, to your point, Megan, what they're looking for and really craving, especially with the younger generation, organizations need to be thinking about how are they doing this most effectively to compete in the market. So thank you both very much for the chat. Enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Thanks, Steve. Great to talk.
Thanks. We'll talk soon. All right. So thank you again for everyone joining us and listening in. And also thank you to Megan and Chitakshi for their awesome perspective. They've got such energy and excitement around this topic. And I just love their perspective specifically based upon the conversations that they're having through their recruitment efforts here at Clarkston. They've really got their finger on the pulse of what it is employees are looking for in an organization, whether you're in industry, in consulting. There are some basic kind of foundational things that employees are looking for today. And as I said earlier, it is absolutely critical that organizations are thinking about these foundational needs as they recruit as a means to drive engagement and also to support retention. So thank you everyone for listening and look forward to future conversations here on Taking Stock. Have a great day.